apologize for not having a class last week. I didn't think it was fair to you for me to do the class late and then you still be responsible in that short frame of time to try to get the attendance quiz. So I just scratched that class off and we'll pick up tonight. If you remember last time we were together, I began to talk about understanding how you got to be God-centric and not self-centric, meaning you have to be God-centered, not self-centered. So that means everything that you do in your life has to be God-centered. I explained how God is not first in my life. God is the center of my life, meaning that God is the center and everything else revolves around Him. Now, when you do that, you open yourself up to God's perfect harmony. God is not the author of confusion. Everything he does it in perfection, and he does it right. That's why the scripture, Romans 8:28, all things work together for them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Notice the two qualifications, that love God and are called according to his purpose. That's who all things work out for. So simply, when you put God as your center, everything else revolves around. Now, why I go to church, why I got married, why I had children, why my wife and I have children, why I do what I do, is all centered around God's agenda. Now, this is important. If you don't understand that concept, it's going to be very hard for you to operate in the apostolic, or simply put, God's kingdom or God's agenda, because God's agenda is built on Galatians 6 and 7, where it says, God is not mocked, for whatever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So that simply means whatever you put out, that's what you're going to receive. So if you put out self-centeredness, if you only go to God when you need him, then you're going to reap God in a way that he may show up when you need him, and he may not, because you sowed that seed. See, God's love and God's power are connected, but they're not the same. God's love is never ending, but his power can be restrained. God is a God that has his arms always open, but you have to run into his arms. So, being self-centered in the kingdom is not going to work. You have to be God-centric. We have designed the church, the 21st century, the New Testament church, have designed the church to compromise. God never designed the church or his body to compromise. If you notice, the church has started letting a whole bunch of stuff get into the church, into our ways of doing things. Not his ways of doing things. It's become our ways of doing things, and we want God to bless it. See, what we must understand, we have to go back to God's original plan. God's original plan, where he leads, we receive instructions, and we execute it in the earth realm. That cannot happen with a self-centric concept. We have to let God unfold his supernatural plans in our lives. First, let's start off in Ephesians, the first chapter. Go there. The Apostle Paul was praying this particular prayer in Ephesians, the first chapter. Let's go there. Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians, the first chapter. This scripture is a lot of times is misquoted. Not misquoted, but misunderstood, because we miss a few key words. Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 17. This is the Apostle Paul saying, look at verse 16. He said, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. That's Apostle Paul praying for the church at Ephesus. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, or the Father of success, may give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, that the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of his inheritance in the saints. His calling, his inheritance. Most times we read that scripture thinking about our calling and our inheritance. That's not what that scripture is talking about. It's talking about may our eyes be opened up so we can realize why God called us and what is on the inside of us that God wants to pull out on to the outside of what he wants us to do, how he wants to use us to establish his kingdom. So we have to let God unfold his plans in our lives. That cannot happen if we're always in survival mode. What I mean by survival mode, you're putting out one fire to the other. You're worried about this, you're worried about that. You're not allowing God to take on your concerns and you take on his concerns. That's what Matthew 11 chapter verses 28, 29, and 30 talks about. You know the scripture where it says, take my burden, take my yoke, for my burden is easy, my yoke is light. Other words, that's a switch. It's a switch of burdens and yokes. Jesus said, take up on my burden, my yoke, and I'm going to take yours. So everything that you can't accomplish, Jesus is going to accomplish through you and for you. And all the things that Jesus cannot accomplish without us, we're going to help him establish his kingdom. Later on, we're going to see in covenant how covenant is elimination of weaknesses. And oh, when we get to it, you're going to see that God has a self-imposed weakness. I thought God was all powerful. Yes, he all powerful. He is so powerful that he self-imposed a weakness that only we can fulfill. It's going to be powerful. We get to it. But as I said earlier, we have witnessed the church become contemporary. Other words, we've taken on world system concepts. We've taken on world system management systems and have brought them into the church and have pushed out the Holy Spirit, who is the greatest manager there ever. Do you realize the Holy Spirit is the only one that can give us access to the mind of God? That's 1 Corinthians 2, verses 11. It talks about how the Holy Spirit is the very Spirit of God. And it talks about what man knows what a man thinketh, said the spirit of a man. So that means it talks about how are we going to know what God is thinking unless we accept the Holy Spirit and work with the Holy Spirit. Now, if we push the Holy Spirit out, if we push the Holy Spirit away, then it will be impossible for us to know the mind of God because he's the very Spirit of God. You know, we have contemporary thought patterns of coming to the church, bringing all sorts of ideas and liberalism into the sanctuary of God. See, Jesus never, let me give you an example. Jesus, if you read the four Gospels, you'll never see Jesus allow anything other than God's ideas and him headed to the cross. He wasn't involved in nothing else. He didn't get himself involved in politics. He didn't get involved in any other unnecessary auxiliary groups. Things have crept into the church. Democrats, Republicans crept into the church. That shouldn't be in the church. Black Lives Matter. That shouldn't be in the church. That shouldn't be in the church. The only thing should be in the church. That's why the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, I strive to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Once you know Jesus Christ and him crucified, everything else is going to fall in its place. But yet, things have crept into the church. Here's why things have crept into the church. Go to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. You're right there in the first chapter. Go to the fourth chapter. This is a very important concept that you have to understand. Jesus established this, and we're going to read it. This is why things have crept into the church that should not have crept into the church. Watch this. In Ephesians, the fourth chapter, let's first start at verse 7. In my Bible, I have a little subtitle that says the gifts of Christ. Let's first start at verse 7. This is a class we can take our time and read. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And we'll get the word grace. It's going to be powerful. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, meaning Jesus, held captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things, meaning Jesus. Now watch this, verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. All right, did you see that? Jesus gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Verse 12 is important. Here's why he gave them. He gave them for the perfecting of the saints, or the maturing of the saints. Why? So that the saints, for the work of the ministry, so the saints that are mature can do the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, or for the building or the expansion of the body of Christ. So he gave those gifts for three reasons: for the maturing of the saints, and that's number one, so that the saints can do the work of the ministry, that's number two, so that the church can be edified or built or expanded or added to. Now, here it is. Jesus gave us five gifts to accomplish three things. The reason the contemporary church is not effective like it's supposed to be is because we're not using all five gifts. The contemporary church has shifted from an apostolic model that Jesus established, because he gave us, to a pastoral model. Many of you think that pastors are the head of the church. No, Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. So we think that pastors are the final say-so in the kingdom of God. Not so. Not so. Pastors play a part, but they don't have final say-so. Let me explain it this way. Jesus gave us five gifts, five, to do three things. We haven't been able to accomplish the three things. We have really got past number one, the perfecting of the saints. Only a few of us mature. Only a few of us mature. Why? Because we're not using all five gifts. We've used pastors, evangelists, and teachers. Very little is known, or very little is taught, about the apostle and the prophet. And here in America, the only thing we know about prophets is the ones that we like to use, we like to watch on TV. Those prophets that supposedly know your name, know your address without ever meeting you. Who cares about that? Who cares about that? You know my name. I knew my name already. You know where I live. I know where I live. What is God saying? What is God? They can tell you something that you want to see in your future. God can tell you that himself if you spend time with him. See, the purpose of an apostle is to structure doctrine. That's one purpose of an apostle. Another purpose of an apostle is to structure government, or divine order, or create structure, governmental structure. You know, Jesus said in Isaiah 9 that the government shall be up on his shoulders. It shall be up on his shoulders. So that's why he gave us apostles. Apostles, the concept of apostles come from the Roman Empire. Why it comes from the Roman Empire? That's when Jesus walked the earth, was during that time. So what would happen is the Roman Empire had what's called apostles. They would go, and whenever they conquered a new territory, they would send apostles to go and indoctrinate the people to their way of government. So Jesus took that terminology and applied it to the 12 people that was walking around him, because he was doing the same thing. He was coming to establish not a physical kingdom, but a spiritual kingdom. And in establishing that spiritual kingdom, he needed people that were able to, on his behalf, indoctrinate those that wanted to be indoctrinated to his kingdom or his ways of doing things. That's where we get the original 12 apostles from. Some people like to say the apostles are dead. That's not truth. Because the apostles are dead, how can we get these three things done? The perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Are there still sinners in the world? Yes. So there's still work to be done. The body of Christ still has to grow. And the body of Christ, watch this, can't do the work unless we mature. We can't mature unless we embrace all five. The apostle, the prophet, the pastor, teacher, and evangelist. So apostle structure. See, an apostle also, watch what an apostle does. We said two things. An apostle structures doctrine. An apostle structures government. Here's another grace that an apostle carries, or another purpose of the apostle. An apostle has authority, territorial authority, over everything moving in their territory. So you have different apostles that has different jurisdictions, different areas, different, it might be location, it might be subject matter. They have different jurisdictions. I give you an example. We talk about our apostle, the apostle of this school, Apostle Leroy Thompson. His jurisdiction, Apostle Thompson, he's an apostle of finances. There's no way you can argue about that. There's no way you can deny that. The only thing you can do is hate on it. But it doesn't matter if you hate on it, because you can't stop it. Because God has graced him for that, that area. So because of that, he has, watch this, supernatural authority over demons of poverty. Oh, God, have mercy. So therefore, those that connect to that grace, they too will have authority over poverty demons. Glory to God. I hope you caught that. Understanding the purpose of an apostle is to structure doctrine. I give you an example in the Bible, and I give you an example in our current time. The Apostle Paul, turn to Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans, the 8th chapter. This is important because if we're ever going to get to covenant, we must understand how government is structured. If we're going to create an alliance and where we all come into the unity of the faith. Matter of fact, before we go to Romans 8, Romans, the 10th chapter, go back to Ephesians 4. Go back to Ephesians 4. The Holy Spirit just brought something back up to me. Ephesians 4. It says, look at verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Until we all come in the unity of the assignment. Until we all come in the unity of, watch this, our faith in God. And of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. There's a goal we're trying to reach. We can't reach those goals as individuals. We have to reach it as an alliance. We have to reach it in covenant. This is why the fivefold is necessary. So those three things can take place so that the body of Christ can grow. It says, till we all come in a unity of the faith. That doesn't mean we're all going to be together. That simply means that everybody is doing what God has designed and watch this, ordained for them to do. See, listen, your toe will never meet your heart, but they work together. Yeah, they work together. See, your liver will never meet your ankle. But the ankle is doing what it's supposed to do, and the liver is doing what it's supposed to do, so that they are making your body function properly. It's the same thing in the body of Christ. There are some people I will never meet in the body of Christ, but that don't matter. We're in covenant. Why? Simply for the fact that they're doing what God has called them to do. I'm doing what God has called them to do. I'm not trying to control them. They're not trying to control me. We're doing what we're supposed to be doing. And so we fitly joined together and working together. Every joint supply. That cannot happen without apostles and prophets. Watch this. Another purpose of an apostle is to open the portals of heaven so that the supernatural can be brought to the natural. Oh my God. Powerful. So apostle structures doctrine, structures government, has territorial authority, and can open the portals of a supernatural so that those of us who connected can access the supernatural. So therefore, every pastor has to be connected to an apostle. When I'm an apostle, every pastor that is not connected to a true apostle, not just a self-labeled apostle, a true God-called apostle, every pastor that is not connected to an apostle will find themselves running into a brick wall and seem like they can't go no further. Why is that? It's because now they're starting to deal with territorial demons for which they don't have the grace by themselves to deal with. So, and you'll learn the class and the culture of honor. That's why all fivefold ministry gifts have to work together. We have to have a culture of honor where we respect each other, where everybody, every joint supplieth. Now, an apostle structures doctrine. Let me give you an example. Go to Romans, the 10th chapter. I hope this is good to you. I hope you're learning a lot. Romans, the 10th chapter. In Romans, the 10th chapter, verse 8, 9, and 10. By now, you ought to know this, where we're going. When you got born again, this is one of the scriptures that they probably quoted to you. Now, let's establish what's going on here. This is the Apostle Paul. We know he wrote Romans. He's talking to the church in Rome. All right? Now, this is the Apostle Paul. Watch what he says. He says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Look at verse 9. Now, you recognize verse 9 because verse 9 is the plan of salvation, how you get born again. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Apostles structures doctrine. What that mean? That means the apostle has the ability to structure doctrines in the church. This is why I don't believe in no novice apostle. I don't believe in no young apostle. I believe in an apostle that has been with God, has experience with God, and can be trusted by God. Not some young person that gets some revelation because they read a few books, or they can put together a few sermons, or they sound good, or they got charisma. I want somebody with some battle wounds, somebody that have been in the trenches with God. I want somebody that was backed into a corner and the only way they was going to get out was God come and get them, and they trust God. That's the kind of apostle I want to follow. That's the kind of apostle you want to follow. So all these young apostles going around calling themselves apostle and they have no fruit that they've been with God. Oh, they can draw a crowd. Anybody can draw a crowd. I always say this. If you're in a metropolitan area and you can't draw a crowd, turn in your credentials. You ain't got to have much power to draw a crowd. But you got to have power to deal with them territorial demons in that metropolitan area. That's what you want in an apostle. An apostle can structure doctrine. Here the Apostle Paul is telling us how to get born again. Jesus didn't even do this. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus kept asking, what that mean? I got to enter my mother's womb again? Jesus never went any further. Jesus didn't have time. Jesus was trying to get so much accomplished. That's why he have apostles to structure doctrine. Listen to that. That's why he have apostles to structure doctrine. You notice Jesus didn't write none of the Bible. He had apostles that was recording what he said and from their perspective because he trusted them. The Apostle Paul wrote over two-thirds of the New Testament because God trusted him. He structured doctrine. The Apostle Paul went and established churches. So an apostle is just not a sent one. An apostle is not, and then don't ever let nobody tell you that an apostle is a missionary. That's a lie. Apostle is just not no missionary. An apostle has authority over territorial demons. An apostle structures government in the church. An apostle structures doctrine in the church. An apostle has authority over territorial demons. I said that twice on purpose. Because when I'm an apostle, there are principalities that a pastor, there are principalities that a prophet, a pastor, a teacher, an evangelist cannot deal with without an apostle. Can't deal with them. Why? Because they weren't graced to deal with them. And a prophet can see. He's a seer. He or she is a seer. But if he or she is not connected to an apostle, they could be seeing in the wrong direction. Oh, Lord. They could be seeing in the wrong direction. An apostle structures government, establishes the foundation. I hope you're catching on to this. Without understanding this, it would be impossible for you to understand why covenant is important, why there should be an alliance of men, why there should be a coming together of graces, why there should be a coming together of the pastor, not only knowing that he or she can't operate alone. They need a prophet and an apostle in their life. That's what LTMA is about. We're establishing now a culture of honor in which we respect and honor every gift. There are no such thing as small churches in LTMA. They're only growing churches. Evangelists in LTMA, they understand that they're respected. Teachers understand that they understand that they're respected. We understand that we have to fit in our places. We have to. A lot of times I don't say it much, but I operate as a teacher. But I am under the apostolic grace. So as a teacher, it's not my job to establish doctrine. It's my job to come in and help to expound on doctrine that's been established. I understand my role. This is one of the reasons why I get revelation like I get. It's because I understand my role. So apostle comes and structures doctrine. In Word of Life, apostles come and structures doctrine. I play my role as one of the ministers on staff to come in and to expound on what he's established. I wish assistants would understand that. It's not your time when your pastor's out of town and he gives you opportunity to play a role in trying to establish your ministry. Now, when his ministry is established, God connected me to him. His ministry is my ministry. We're together. I ain't got no face to save. I ain't got nothing to establish. It's my opportunity to reinforce and to expound upon what the doctrine he structured. I hope you're listening at me. So we have to understand that without apostolic grace, the body of Christ will go in circles. And that's where denominations come from. Denominations are established because a group of people want to go around in the same circle. And so they don't want to do what this person do. They don't want to do what this group do. So you know what denominations are? Denominations are who God, or watch this. Denominations are who men say God is. That's what denominations are. Who men say God is. Instead of letting God speak for himself. So they establish rules to control, and you can't go outside of these boundaries. And so they go round and round in circle, never going forward. Satan does not mind you going around in a circle. It's when you start progressing and branching out and taking territory, that's when he gets concerned. So a lot of denominations, Satan ain't even bothering with them. He just let them go round and round in circles because they ain't doing nothing. Because they're not apostolic. Apostolic means fresh, new. God is always talking. God is always saying. He's always moving forward. But we as men, we like to establish territories of our own that we can control. That's why the culture of honor has to be established, so that the apostle respects the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, the prophet. The prophet can respect the pastor, the teacher, the apostle, the evangelist. Are you getting this? Each one of them have to respect each other so that an alliance can be created. Without it, the church will go in circles. And that's what's been happening, because today's church, most of us come out of a church. If you've been in church any length of the time, you probably have dealt only with a pastor. An evangelist come in every now and then to preach fire and brimstone. You may have sometimes saw a teacher in Sunday school. Sometimes if your pastor was a little, if your pastor was kind of branched out a little bit, you might run across a prophet who's able to come in and tell you your name and your address. But very few has come across apostles, because apostles were relegated down to just missionaries. Now, an apostle is more than a missionary. An apostle, once again, an apostle structures heaven to earth government. Listen to them. Structures heaven to earth government so that the portals of the supernatural can be opened, so all of us can experience the supernatural. Structures heaven to earth government, structures doctrine, and has authority over territorial demons. I hope you learned a lot today. I hope you learned what an apostle is. I haven't even touched the surface of an apostle. But we have to understand these things so we understand why it seems like the church ain't going nowhere, why it seems like the church is shrinking, why it seems like our young folk are not interested in church. Because they get tired of that same old, same old. They go to church. They know it's going to be, we're going to sing praise and worship. They know they're going to have a couple of selections. They know they're going to receive an offering, which sometimes takes too long because they're trying to get money out to people instead of doing 1 Corinthians 9 and 11. Go look that up. Then they know it's going to, the pastor going to preach. And then they know he's going to put some hermeneutics on it. He's going to hum a little bit, especially if you grew up in a black church. Then number one, the doors of the church are now open. See that? The doors of the church ain't working right now. Why? Because ain't nobody coming to the church. We have to go where they are. Just reason this. That's one of the reasons of the pandemic. The pandemic, one of the positives of the pandemic is forced the church outside of its four walls, back into our circle of influence, so we can spread the gospel, so we can tell other people about Jesus Christ. But the problem is, a lot of saints weren't matured, weren't perfected, weren't matured enough to go do the work of the ministry. Why? Because the fivefold was not in this place. But thank God, the fivefold, all of the fivefold is getting back in this place, and we're starting to recognize apostles, so that the heaven to earth government, not earth to heaven, heaven to earth government can be structured, so that the portals of the supernatural can be opened, so that we all can experience the thing, the works and the miracles and the power of God. I'll see you next week.